Good morning.
Good morning.
What a joy, what a privilege, what an honor to be back with you. I love this place. We were excited. In actual fact, we were here about an hour and a half before the service. We couldn't wait to get here. And if I don't get invited, I think I'm just going to come.
Amen. You're always invited.
Because it's such a blessing, and to come here and just fellowship. You know, often you go to churches where you got to minister and thank God for the privilege, but you got to know your weight, your steps, because you know all things are happening. Because you know, it's mega church here, mega church there, and. But when you come to a place like this, you come home. You come to family. You come to enjoy. You come to enjoy God's presence. You can smile if you want to. You can laugh when you want to. I mean, I feel so privileged to be able to come here and been allowed to come here for many, many, many years. We were talking in the car, Lorena and I, and about my first time of coming to Port Ludlow is about 32 years ago, and the former leader, the pastor of Christ the Rock Fellowship, brought me across, and we enjoyed. And since then, I fell in love with the place, and we're so blessed to be here. And thank you so much for allowing us the pleasure and the privilege. We have been blessed, Lorena and I, to have spent some fantastic times since we've been here last, whenever that was. We managed to get around, first of all, get her to be, you know, what do they call it? She was declared an undesirable. I'm happy to say she's now reclassified as a desirable. Because she doesn't cross the border without, you know, or stay longer than she should. No, it's all is well. God has blessed us, opened the doors for us. We'll continue to do that. And we just pray that as things go forward, she will have the residency, and then we don't have to go to all these documents. You know, there's always a reason why things happen, and we don't always find out why until later you do, and I may still find out why, you know. But after getting married, I learned to know what it is to be 4 months without her. And it was tough. But eventually she joined, and we spent some wonderful time back in the country, to and fro. During this time, I was told that I have reached 40 again. And so they were having parties all over, and we had to fly from one part to another in the country to attend, I think, 4 gatherings of party lovers. That's the only reason they say it's for me. But it's actually more they want to party, you know. So we had to go around and fly around and at different meetings where they were celebrating this special birthday. And I'm humbled by it and blessed by the Lord to have friends like that as they gathered. And what a blessing it was to sit with colleagues, leaders that I haven't seen for a few years, and to meet with them at different places, and just not having a service, yes, pray, but just reminiscing about where God has brought us and what He has done and what we remember amongst ourselves of what God has done. And I sat there and I listened to these gentlemen. It was only gentlemen, it was only men allowed. And the ladies were, two of them were just men, yeah. And the others were ladies and men, and then some ladies only. But be that as it may, just to listen and to be reminded, because some of it I have forgotten, because this journey of 65 years is a long one. And some of them talking about things of what happened, where we were, what we've done, what God has done. I mean, it was just very, very, very special. To never forget where God has brought you on this journey and what a pleasure it was to sit down with these leaders in different parts of the country and then to hear how they remember 50, 60 years ago, what happened there, what happened here. And that was such a blessing to us. We managed to have that and then return back to South Africa for a little bit of an extended time. And then we managed, by the grace of God, to head towards, is that north? I think it's north, to England and Wales and Scotland and Ireland and all of those places around in Europe. And we've seen the hand of God at work, and we just thank God for His grace and His goodness and His blessing. So we've come back to home, away from home, Seattle, and where Lorena's great-grandchild will be celebrating 1 year. So we're here to celebrate that before we head back to South Africa for Christmas and enjoy Christmas there before we will be reminded again. There's work to be done. And we're looking forward to the new year. We have a project in which we will travel something like 5 weeks of the month on the road into areas where churches don't often get visitors and such because they on the outskirts. And we have felt that we want to bless those people, that always when we had meetings, they would say, you only go to the big churches, you don't come to us because we're too far out. So we have promised we'll do and rectify that situation. So we will travel all along the west coast of South Africa from the one part to the other. We don't know exactly where we're going to sleep, what we're going to eat, where we're going to be, but we're going to travel that road. And we will be ministering along that at various churches, just as we have done in England, Wales, Scotland, and Ireland. We're so grateful that God has given us the opportunity to be a blessing to some of the people there. We've seen God at work, and we are more convinced than ever that Jesus is everything that He says He is. I know that in these years that there is nothing that Jesus says and what the Bible says that He ain't. Because He is a true God and He delivers on His word. Yes. And He's always there. And to travel the world and to hear all over the globe how people praise God and honor God for what He's done, then you get encouraged. Because the next week you will read a newspaper and it will be different. But just to be reminded that God is at work and He's doing great things empowers you to carry on and do the work of the Lord. We are blessed, Lorena and I, and to be called into ministry and to still enjoy it after all of these years. And we just thank you for your friendship. And ask that you continue to pray for us, that we may continue to just enjoy this journey. Not always downhill, but there's one thing that's sure. There is no uphill that doesn't have a downhill. Oh, yes. Because otherwise you would be heading all the way up and never come down. But every uphill does have a downhill. So if there is an uphill, just look forward to the downhill, which is coming. And we just pray for you that God will grant grace and favor. We will be heading home within a few weeks, and then we'll be back for the two conferences the regional one and the national one, and looking forward to that before we head back again to our work in South Africa and wherever God takes us. I have sometimes wondered, what would I do if I did not do what I'm doing? And I must be honest, I don't know. Because I know nothing else. If you've been busy in God's work for 65 years, you know nothing else. And what you have known is not worth knowing. Because you've seen so much at what God is doing that there is no more doubt in your mind. And as I said before, I have come to realize without any doubt that Jesus is everything that he says he is. Amen. Every doubt that there may have been 20, 30, 40 years ago is gone. Because I've seen it all. I've seen it all that he is everything that he says he is. And if I do nothing here this morning except saying to you, he is who he says he is, just keep on, you're on the right road. And when I was busy preparing and talking to the Lord, I was wondering, and I had the one sermon that I felt it. This is what must be here, and Lorena also felt this is what it should be, and then I changed course. Because every time I come here, I endeavor or try to be an encourager. So that you do not lose courage. That's why I'm repeating in saying to you that Jesus is everything that he says he is. And so I decided after much prayer and so much so that I don't know, it's a short sermon, but I don't know when last I've prayed so much for a sermon. When Lorena asked me to please go with them because they're out for the day, I said, no, I want to spend the day just preparing after having prepared. And so I want to just talk to you as a family and as a friend about living and bearing. Living a bearing and sharing life. By that I mean living a bearing and sharing life. We bear and carry forward what comes our way, and we share as we go forward on this way. I believe it's the way because of what's happening in our world today. And there's probably many Christians that are scared that Jesus may be losing the plot. He won't. He won't. He never will. Somebody said there is such a thing as being condemned to victory. You know? There's nothing else that come. You will only be a victor. And I believe as Christians, we are condemned to victory. Not to losing, but to victory. But at the same time, we're walking a journey which required of us to one another, strengthen one another. We are strengthened by the Lord. We are strengthened by the Holy Spirit. But we are also strengthened with much, much needed grace when we strengthen one another. Bearing and sharing together. And not only occasionally, but as a lifestyle. That I serve and I give my life, bearing up with those that are in pain, sharing with others the good and the bad, so that we take this journey together. I believe the time that we live in, we cannot afford to hang loose in any way, because the enemy is strengthening their things and getting there's a word that I use that's not in the dictionary. It's getting worse. Now, you wouldn't know what that is. It's English and Afrikaans, which is my mother tongue. You know? But it is a fact that most of us are living where we've never been before. Most of us who are elderly people, we realize that where we are now in this particular time of history, we've never been there before. We've never known the world like we know it now. And because we've never been to this place before, we need each other. We need each other. We need each other to bear up one another, to comfort one another, to strengthen one another. And we need each other to share the good and the bad in life that we go through. In other words, we got to be there for one another. The enemy is piling up to fight us, to fight that which is godly. We will team up as people who will press forward with this gospel as best we can. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burden and so fulfill the life of Christ. I think this is becoming more important than ever before, that we be there for one another, that we have interest in one another, that we seek to empower one another, that we seek to go forward one another. We cannot be divided anymore, because the enemy will benefit from that. He will benefit from that, but he loses when we are together. Nothing can break us when we're together, because there is strength. And although ultimately God does bear our burdens, like Psalm 55 verse 22 says, cast your burdens on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Yes, God does this, but he also believes us. He also trusts us. He also wants us to also be ready to bear one another's burden. If he does this for us, then we got to do it for one another. We can take our burdens to God in prayer, but we can also take it to one another and take hands with one another and say, we're going to do this, we're going to win this. And for that reason, I believe that as the globe, you know, is growing, not the globe itself, but the people in the globe is growing, and so much enmity all over where we come, if ever there was a time for us as Christians to strengthen one another, to bear one another's burden, to share with one another, and let it become a lifestyle. Not a, it's happening this week and it was fantastic, but to become, have it as a lifestyle. I believe that if ever there's a time to be shoulder to shoulder, then it's now. Now, I'm not trying to speak negative things and say it's so bad that we can't say, no, I'm not saying that. In actual fact, we're having a good time in a bad world, you know. Because we're walking with the Lord. Yes. But there are things out there and there are people out there that need us. When this birthday of mine was celebrated, I didn't believe that I was 80 years old. But I'm convinced now when I, you know, that I am. So we're in the same team. We're in the same team. But as we go forward, I think every bit of energy that we have, everything that we can put in there, we got to put it in so that we can do what needs to be done in this time of ours. We do find ourselves in a world that going into deeper division. All over there's division. Part of my calling in the latter years has been conflict resolution. It's not the most delightful thing to be doing, because you sort of almost like troubleshooting. But I have not asked it. It's not a title of mine. I haven't asked for it. But we've been called to all different places, more because of some of the bit of experience that we have had globally with different things, and to see and know, and we are convinced that God is with us to help us in the things that we do. Now, conflict resolution speaks for itself. It's where there's conflict, you bring the resolution, or you pray God for resolution. And the sad part is that it happens more in churches than you can ever think. I wouldn't have minded if it happens in factories and workshops. I'd like to go there. But when you think that it happens in churches, big churches all over, that call and say, come and help. And it's a pleasure to be helping, to be there for people. And I always want to be that. I always want to do that. Why? Because I have seen God at work. It is now known that in Africa, one of the safest, most advanced countries growing in speed is Rwanda. But it is also known that one of the biggest genocides in the world, and especially in Africa, was in Rwanda. 1 million people just slaughtered and killed. I will never forget that incident. Sad, sad, sad. And when I was called to come to Rwanda and bring a small team with, I will never forget the day that the seven of us arrived there, and we were taken on a route and a flight across Rwanda in the president's helicopter. And as we were traveling, we were then shown where the different places are and where the slaughter has taken place. And it's just weeks after it has happened. The smell is still in the air. I was, after the first day, night, I was sick. I had to, as the chairman of the committee, I called for us not to carry on further, but try and just recover from what we have seen in different places. And it was one of the most difficult tasks ever. I will never forget it in my life. It haunted me almost for weeks and months after that. But it was a tremendous thing to see God at work. And when we were serving there, the people together in this, it was also governmental, and it was people probably know about it globally. And we had to sit down and bring together the people, both the ones who did the ugly things. And I remember 127 people in prison, a number of their ministers of another religion that I don't want to mention. And to see those 120-something people in prison there for having been the instigators and the people that have caused this problem, I was sitting there and I thought, this is one thing that we're not going to win. I had to say, Lord, forgive me my unbelief. And while we had all the access to everything and the president gave us the right of just about everything that we needed, I saw it, almost all of us saw it, that this is one that's going to be beyond us. But we underestimated God. And I had to repent. I had to repent that we underestimated God. Sitting with those people and sharing that whatever you call it, to try and just bring the peace there was a tough thing. But I never reckoned. I always knew God does great things. I didn't think he would do, perhaps not today when it came to that. But he did. He did. He did. He did. He did. Yes, he did. Sadly, a million people had to die before peace came. But peace came. Rwanda is the most calmest, blessed place. The president whom we there were ministering to most of the time to hold courage is the only president in the whole of Africa that the people demanded that he take a third term. And they had to go to get it legally done because 94-95% of the people said, we want him again for a third term, which has never happened in Africa. And today, although it's a multi-party democracy, they work together. They're building a beautiful country. It is known as the safest country in Africa now. And all because God turned up for that occasion. He's always there, but there's a time that he specially, you know, just sort of come out and raises the bar higher than what we used to. When I realized that and saw that happen, when I saw the peace that came from all the pain that there was, I realized there is nothing, nothing, nothing that's impossible for God. And as Lorena and I was traveling through Ireland, where you know a few years ago how terrible it was there, there is still the fallout of it. There's still a bit of something in the air that's not there. I said to her, I said, sweetie, let us find the place that is called the Ulster Hall. And we searched and we found the place called the Ulster Hall in Ireland. And I'm running a little bit off my text, but I'm just feeling I must go that way. And then I'll go back. But you will be back before dinner tonight. Yeah, okay. And we went to... found the Ulster Hall eventually, and I had reason to wanting to go to the Ulster Hall. If it sounds that I'm giving more testimony than preaching, well, let it be. But we found the Ulster Hall, and the Ulster Hall was the place that some of you may have read during the times of Ireland, North Ireland, and all of that. There was a lot of pain and death there. And the two groups could not come close to one another. They had almost war every year when the one group marched through the other areas. Some of you may remember. And I said, I want to go and see the Ulster Hall again. And we found the place and we went into the Ulster Hall. And I went up to the pulpit, the podium, up in front, and I stood there. Lorena took a few photos, and I said, I want to just spend a bit of time here because this is where my God has been seen to do great things. in the years of working in Ireland during those times, and after our democracy success, we were called there. And I went there for the first time now again, and I went, it's a new place, it's a beautiful place, it's beautifully done, but it's no more for what it was. It was to be the podium for the left and the right and the center and all before they march. That's where they sort of spit almost blood at one another, you know. It was a tough place. We've had various events there that we were graced to be part of. But that day, during those years, I will never forget. I went up and stood there and stood a bit longer on the podium, and she got the message why it meant so much to me. It was in that place that I stood on the podium to preach to about 1,000 plus leaders, all cloaked up, Catholic, Protestant, and all together there in that place. And you could feel the bitterness and the enmity between in that area. And I remember, and there was much prayer going up before that, I got up on the podium and started speaking. I spoke for about 3 minutes, three times. What's it? 15 minutes. There's a difference between 15 and 3. Okay, you know. But I didn't want to speak evangelistically. But got up there, spoke for 15 minutes, and suddenly there was a scream, but a scream as I've never heard before. I mean, really, somebody almost screaming, I think somebody has been killed. And I stopped because it was so loud, so profound. The sound was going in the building. And when I looked towards the one, I had to stop. And normally when something like that happens, you just think it's the Holy Spirit and now, you can carry on. There was no way stopping. Nobody would have heard. And while that one person was screaming, there was another on the other side started screaming. And within minutes, the whole place was screaming, screaming to God for forgiveness and togetherness. People ran to one another, grabbing one another, hugging one another, crying over one another. And almost 3 hours later, it was over. There was no more preaching for me. But it was one of the most amazing things that I've seen in my life. God at work. That's why I always say, God is everything that He says He is. Don't doubt Him for what He says. He is everything that He says He is. And in those two places, and I'm only mentioning two, the one in Africa and the one in Ireland, I have seen God at work as I have never seen it in my life. And I know that the same God who did that in Rwanda and make Rwanda where it is now, the same God that was there in Ireland, there's peaceful there. There's still a little bit of something in the air here and there, but there's peace in the air, and Ireland is going on. Politically, they're struggling, but otherwise, they're going forward. It's great to know that when Jesus says something, He means it. Yes. He means it. Yes. And you can believe Him. The role of those of us who are spiritual is to serve in humility and not correct in pride. By that I mean, us serving must continue serving. keep on serving, not giving up, because God will answer. He always answers. We serve Him in humility and not to correct Himself, but to show to us that He is everything that He says He is. How can we make contribution to all that is happening? I've always said to Lorena, every time we drive here, I said, man, I could live here. Man, this is peaceful, you know. And I just praise God for you who have this opportunity to live here. But I just pray and ask God that you don't live here without remembering those that are less privileged and are out there. Amen. With prayers of prayer people like you, we feel strong out there when we are out there. Because we need the churches. We can't all go, but we can all send. We can't all go, but we can all send. Whatever we send, whoever we send. And prayer is the greatest sender. If you can send that. So that the work that is still to be done needs to be done out there. Bearing and sharing must not be an incident that comes up at a special time of the year or somewhere. Bearing and sharing must become a lifestyle. A lifestyle that we feel, I am spending my life sharing. I'm spending my life praying, sending, if I can't go myself. Bearing and sharing is a lifestyle that requires us to, through love, serve one another. As Galatians 5 verse 13 says, we can't all go, but we can all send. I remember how we sang in our older years, or in our younger years, at least now is the older years. We used to sing, others, Lord, others, help me to live for others that I may live for Thee. And some of you may remember it, others, Lord. And my call to you is that we may live for others. Live for others, wherever you live. Don't give up what you have. I'm just saying, give prayer added to that more than ever before. Why? Because it's getting late. And we got to bring in the sheaves as best we can. Jesus will never be outdone, but He uses people. And we are part of that. We got to watch in the times that we live, how we live, what we do. Galatians 6 verse 3 teaches us, for if anyone thinks of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And I made a note in saying, others, Lord. Others. Help me to live for others so that I may live for Thee. We must watch out our thoughts as we live in today. Watch your thoughts because they become words. Most times your thoughts will not stay thoughts. They become words, and words are powerful. Watch your words, because they become actions. They only start with thoughts. They become words. And when they become words, they can easily become actions. Watch your actions, because they become habits. Because what you do habitually becomes habits. So we not only watch our thoughts, not only our words, but we watch our actions, because actions become habits. Watch your habits, because they become your character. And we don't want to have a character that's not. That's what we shouldn't have. Watch your character, because it becomes your destiny. May I repeat that for your prayers? Watch your thoughts as you live, as you go forward in Christ. Watch your thoughts, because they become words. They don't always stay just thoughts. If you think badly of somebody, it's not long before you speak it out. Watch your thoughts, because they become words. And once you become words, it becomes a process, because it then becomes actions. Because your words now become those actions. And once you are qualified in those actions, whatever kind it may be, your actions become habits. And the habits may not be the most pleasant. Watch your habits, because they become your character. Then you're already on dangerous territory. Watch your character, because it becomes your destiny. Lamentations 1 verse 9 says, she did not consider her destiny. Therefore, her collapse was awesome. There's always things that start and we think it will just be the start. I can quickly polish it up. Once it's said you can't pull it back. God help us in the times that He has called us for, in bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, that we may continue strong to be for God all that He wants us to be. In conclusion, I want to say, Jeremiah 1 verse 5 to 8 teaches us that He formed us, and that's for a purpose. I like the seven-pointed note that I've written down of Jeremiah. First of all, God said to him, I formed you. And then He says, I knew you. And then He says, I sanctified you. And then He says, I ordained you. And then He says, I send you. And then He said, I command you. And then He said, I will be with you. Those seven I's, the word I that God says there is special. I formed you. I formed you. He says, and I knew you. There's nothing about you that God doesn't know. But thank God He didn't just know us. He sanctified us. And He ordained us for a purpose, for a plan. And then the plan is that you be sent, whether it's around a corner or around the world. He sends you. But He doesn't send you without saying anything. He sends you with a commandment. He sends you with a commandment. And then He also sends you with an assurance. He says, I will be with you. My prayer for you and with you is that God, as a beautiful people here in this beautiful part of the world, God will grant you favor. He'll continue His blessings on your life. That even if you are bearers and sharers in your lifestyle, polish it up even more, because the world needs it more. Use it even more, because your neighbors need it more. Make use of it even more, because he's coming. He's close. God bless you. I love you.